So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, I'm going to say a Greek word from this text. I'm going to say this word, and I'm going to talk about it in a second. But I don't want you to tune out when I say the Greek word and talk about it. I'm really not trying to listen to myself talk. This is a very important thing. The word that I'm going to say is dikaio. Dikaio. That is in Galatians 3:24. And it means I justify. It means I reckon righteous. I declare righteous. And it's found here in the text that I just read at the beginning of the sermon in prayer. And that was Galatians 3:24. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came in order that we might be justified by faith. That's dikaio, justified. Now, why would I use the Greek? Is it pretentious? Well, it can be. Sometimes preachers do a lot of Greek to be pretentious, but I would like to think that this is not just trying to be pretentious. It is actually a very important distinction that I want to point out to you, that I want you to understand. And it's so important that the world absolutely erupted in the 16th century because of this very word, over its meaning. Because it is crucial to understand, in order to understand our relationship to God. It completely reconfigures ethics, reward, goodness, and standing before God to understand what this word, dikaio, I justify or I reckon as righteous, what that means. Now, why is it important? Why is it important that we understand that we are reckoned as righteous by faith? What are elemental spirits? I'm reading, and I'm talking about the rest of the text here, because you sort of have to dig into this part of Galatians. What is this, being justified by faith? What are elemental spirits? What does he mean by the law? What about guardians? This little Aramaic term, Abba, what does that mean? It sounds like a bunch of stuff that eggheads like. And it is, believe me. Eggheads go for this kind of thing. But it also is important to you. It will also change your life. Now, I'm going to begin first by talking about guardians and heirs. I'm not just going to give a historical lecture here or an exegetical lecture here. I'm going to talk about this in terms of you. I'm going to talk about this in terms of your life. So you might want to stay keyed in here. But I do have to give you a little bit of context. In the first century AD, heirs of inheritances were put under guardians. And what guardians would do is they would teach them while these heirs were still growing, while they were still, boys becoming men, primarily girls becoming women. They would teach them while they were growing up. They would teach them right from wrong. They would teach them how to act. They would teach them how to not to get hurt. They would teach them their studies, those sorts of things. For Jews, what Paul is talking about, and he's using this analogy of a guardian, it is the Mosaic law. That's what he says, law. It's the Mosaic law. That's for the Jews. For the Gentiles, they were elemental spirits, which is a little bit enigmatic, but we'll talk about this. Elemental spirits, what are these? They are principles. They are primal elements. Timeless principles, one might say, but also primal elements, fire, water. All these things were sort of deified in ancient Gentile religion. And that's what you see in Genesis 1 and 2. God created light. God created the animals. God created the weather. God created those sorts of things. And what that was a polemic against pagan religion. It was these things are not deities in themselves. God created them, you see. So that might help you read through Genesis. Now, it all seems so archaic and removed from experience and academic. And that's sort of where I want to bring this to where the rubber hits the road. Because once you start thinking through what elemental spirits are, then you realize that it's what wakes you up at 2 a.m. What wakes you up at 2 a.m.? Elemental spirits. Now, sometimes people's whole lives, and I'm talking about you, and I'm talking about me, sometimes people's whole lives consist of dealing with elemental spirits. When I'm dealing with the guardian and never fully growing up into an heir. Sometimes their whole lives are focused on the guardian, appeasing the guardian. Even though Paul says there is a time to grow into something different completely. We'll talk about that in a second. Now what am I talking about? Most of us are Gentiles here. So we're going to start with the elemental spirits. Now, wait a minute. I'm not under the guardianship of elemental spirits. That is crazy. You are crazy. Okay, let's think about that for a second. We might not worship fire, and I don't think any of us do here. But what gives you meaning? What gives your life meaning? What gives you meaning? Career. Time management. Those sorts of things. What about your career? What do you develop about yourself? What do you try to make yourself? How do you try to make yourself inherently righteous with respect to career? Well, time management. You try to get more efficient. You try to get more education, more skill, more effectiveness. What about with your kids? You try to provide them with a more expensive education, organic food perhaps, or maybe you're one of these folks who engage in this neurotic sports involvement. You know, you're a little bit overzealous at Little League games perhaps. Well, it has to do with your kids, right? Technology, building your brand on social media is a way that you serve this guardian. Politics. If your tribe wins, then you win. Romance. You know, what I want really, David, out of life is a man who is both sensitive and a go-getter. And I'm not going to settle for anything less. What I really want is a really beautiful woman with a lot of family money. You run into that. Is that an elemental spirit? Is that a guardian? Is that something that you look to give your life meaning? Well, it's not fire, it's not water, it's not air or wind, but these are things we bow to. Well, maybe, David, there are some elemental spirits in my life. Yes, there are. And there are some in mine, and that is what Paul is talking about. But let's look at another guardian. The law. This was given to the Jews primarily. But you can just say, you can also talk about that as an elemental guardian for really religious people, people who are really involved in religion. Now, what we need to know about the law, and I'm talking about the Mosaic law here. I'm not talking about the law of church life. I'm talking about the Mosaic law. The law that God gave to the Israelites is a good, perfect demand of God. Its ethics are sublime. What we typically do with law, and what religious people typically do with law, is we use these religious ethics, sort of, about 75%, 60%, 50%, to get God. But it's very, very important to understand that the only way to get to God by the law is by perfection. The perfect execution of the law at all times in thought, deed, and word. Loving God and neighbor completely, 100%, perfectly. Then you will be accepted by God. So we don't get to God by living a good life if we're going by the law. We get God by living the perfect life if we're living by the law. Now I can already hear you, and I can hear myself saying, but that is impossible. That's the point. What are these guardians teaching? What do we need to know before growing up in our inheritance? What do we need to know? We need to know that we can never satisfy these guardians. They can teach us some things with the elemental spirits by looking to efficiency. As far as, you know, I'm talking about career as an elemental spirit. If I'm looking at improving my efficiency, what am I admitting if I'm improving my efficiency? That I'm not as efficient as I need to be. And that never ends. How much do we leave on the table with respect to these things? Elemental spirits, with respect to the law. By the law, how far short do we fall of the perfection of the law? We use the word justification because we inherently seek to justify ourselves. That is the human condition. We want to justify ourselves, and we do so by the elemental spirits. We do that by career, technology, by kids, politics, whatever it is, the elemental spirits that we serve, that we bow down to, we seek to justify ourselves by that, by the guardian, and we seek to do that by the law, by religious things, by ethics. But we can't. We can't justify ourselves by these things. That's why you wake up at 2:00 in the morning, worried. That's why anxiety racks you. Because you're looking to the guardian. And this is why I started with the Greek. Because we always feel that accusation. Do you not? We always feel that accusation from the guardian. And this is why I started with the Greek, because that's exactly what that means. There is no future, no future with the guardians as far as your justification goes. You cannot justify yourself by the guardian. Whatever guardian you choose, it's not there. In verse 24 of Galatians chapter 3, Paul says, finding it here, here it is, until Christ came. Until Christ came. Christ coming was God's fulfillment, fullness of time. And why did he come? Christ came to give his inheritance. The inheritance he came to give was his perfect life, according to the law, and his death. He fulfilled the requirement of the guardian of the law totally. Christ's coming is God's fullness of time, and his coming is our coming of age. It is how we grow up. I heard a preacher say one time, you haven't really become a man. You haven't really become a woman, a full-grown man, a full-grown woman, until you have come to Christ. And that is what Paul is talking about here. This is our coming of age. In Christ, we receive the inheritance, which is justification, a reckoning of righteousness. Because the inherent justification we sought was not there and cannot be there. And he says, so that we may be justified by faith. By faith in what? By faith in God's promise fulfilled in Christ. By believing. by trusting the righteousness of another, the provision of another, the gift of another. That is what that means. And it is here in Christ. And it is His. It belongs to Him. But He freely gives it to us. This is why dikaiō is used in this text. We are reckoned as righteous, not an inherent righteousness that we build up in ourselves. We are reckoned as righteous. Where does it come from? The righteousness comes entirely from Christ. Christ's righteousness is reckoned to us, imputed to us, as if it were our own. Now, what does this mean for the adult? What does this mean for the one who has grown into his or her inheritance, has become an heir, and has broken the shackles to the guardian? It means this. When you're wrong, when you don't make it, when nothing seems to work out, when you're stepping on your own toes, when you're wondering what your status in life is all about, when you're stepping on your toes and you're just not making it, this is your status. And it is fully free that you are heir to a king. You're an heir to a king. You're an heir to the king because you trust what he has done. You trust what he has provided. That is justification by faith. And when understood, you have come of age finally. You could be 14, you could be 95, and you have come to age finally. And this inheritance that he freely gives to you is yours forever. Amen.